Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to another Happy Pod, the only podcast in the world. My name is Nathan, and as always, I'm joined by my wonderful co-host, Lawrence, who is a dickhead, and is going to tell us all what this silly little show is all about.
Thank you, Mr. Beast. Tell us, Lawrence, what is this show all about?
What's this?
Lawrence, you don't have time. You need to tell us what this show is all about.
Okay. Nathan, this is the show where we get together every week to discuss why did you do this.
You need to take a minute, fucking hell.
I just wasn't expecting that. Oh, right, it's where we discuss something in the realm of pop culture. Could be a movie, could be a telly show, could even be a video game. But the main thing is that we do so without any of the toxic discourse that is oh so prevalent these days. Isn't that right, Mr. Beast?
Hello and welcome to another Happy Pod.
What's
the only
going
podcast
on?
In the world.
Thanks, Snoop.
Am I going insane? What's happening?
No, well, we're doing her, Lawrence. So I thought,
okay,
because we're doing her. Like, literally, I had this thought about 30 seconds before we were going to record. And then I thought, what if I got a fun little AI voice to do the intro instead? So I went on this website, signed up for a free trial. Please remind me to cancel it because it will charge me like 300 quid in a few days.
Okay, all right.
and I did that. By the way, I don't condone this. No one should do this. This is bad. Don't use AI voices for content. Hire voice actors. This is just a fun little joke. And also, it sounds bad. I want to point that as well. It doesn't sound good. Yeah, there you go.
Anyway, thank you for our sponsor this week, AI Voices.
Hello and welcome to another Happy Pod, the only podcast in the world.
What? What's that, Mr. President? Wow, what an honor. Shouldn't you be sending drones into the Middle East? Anyway, Lawrence, how the devil are you?
No, you don't get to just go into something else. That's got to be the most chaotic start to an episode I think we've had in a long time.
Bit of fun, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm down for it. It is a little bit of fun.
Exactly.
Did you ask how I was?
Yes, I just did literally just that second.
Yeah, I know, but my head was still processing Barack Obama talking about our podcast.
Let me cancel this trial right fucking
now. Don't do it now.
No, I'm going to do it right fucking now.
Do you want me to pause?
No. You can. It's fine.
Oh, it's only me telling you how I am because you asked. We can skip over that. That's not a problem.
Yeah. They're immediately giving me 50% off because I threatened to cancel.
Oh, that's a good side point for anyone listening. That's a fun thing to do every now and again.
I did it to my broadband the other day.
And they're like, please, no, Nathan, please.
Like, oh, I got a letter through from another provider. I didn't. And I was like, oh, they're offering me this for this much. And they're like, oh, okay, well, we'll match that then. I was like, Sick sound. Love that. Love that for me.
And it's not even that difficult sometimes. Nah. You can just go on their cancel page and it'll be like, why don't you just try, you know, half price for 3 months, see how you feel then.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, I'll do that. Why not? Thank you for the free money.
Go away. Sorry, I'm talking to these AI people.
Okay, no, I can leave.
not you, Lauren.
What do you mean? You invited them.
I know, but now I'm sick of them.
Get out of here.
Yeah, get out of here, you weird AI voices. Anyway,
Barack Obama's refusing. He won't leave.
Anyway, I think we can all agree that was a fun little bit to start the show.
It certainly was a shocking bit, if I do say so. Also, by the way, I'd like to point out to everyone listening who wasn't privy to this, right? I asked Nathan what he was like tapping away at his keyboard frantically for.
Yeah, because I just went silent for about 2 minutes before the podcast started.
But I said to you, I went, what are you doing? And you just replied, I'm cooking.
I was.
Fuck's sake.
Lawrence, we have fun here. We like to keep it light and breezy. We have a good time. I am drinking a nice glass of wine.
Ooh, it's a big week for you, the Taylor Swift album drop, isn't it?
It is, and maybe I'll talk more about that a little later. But,
oh yeah, how could I have not foreseen that?
But yes, it's a good week. I'm drinking a bottle of, this is called The Straw Hat. It's a lush and fruity rosé. And it cost £5.
Where did them grapes come from? Where have they been grown?
Iceland. Not the store. The shop.
They opened up a punnet from Iceland, squeezed it into a bottle, and then filled the rest up with water and went, there you go.
So there you go.
Would you recommend it?
Well, no, it's quite bad. But hey, it's £5.
You can't go wrong. I'm drinking a water, Nathan, H2O.
I also have a water here.
That's for your what's the phrase? Is it you're like doubling up what you do so you don't get like a bad hangover?
I don't give a fuck about that. No, I'm just...
I can't do wine, man. Wine gives me... Any form of wine gives me a headache. I could do a couple of glasses of red and that is it.
You want to get over yourself.
Yeah, I mean, look, I should grow up.
You want to grow up. That's what you want to do.
I have been looking forward to this and I considered texting you at some point earlier today, but then I thought that you might get cross. I was going to text you that you needed to be prepared for me being insufferable. It's going to be another insufferable Lawrence episode. You were treated to me being very negative for 2 hours last week, all right? So I have to be a bit insufferable for about an hour this week.
Is that a treat for me?
No, but like, you know, I get to... Normally I liked it last week because we were on the same wavelength. We haven't had a good rant episode in a while where it's just us listing the things we don't like about something.
But you do love Snyder and the Snyderverse.
I don't.
You was
I don't
first
love
in line
all of
from
it.
Rebel Moon Part 2. You was like, why can't I see it in IMAX? You said.
I've seen neither of those movies, and everything I have seen of either of them look really bad.
Yeah. So apparently it's very bad. I haven't seen it, but
it just looks fucking dull, man. Everything I haven't seen a single interesting thing.
I haven't seen a single positive review of it.
No, I haven't seen that. But then, like, even just seeing tiny snippets, photos, clips. Literally anything, any kind of media from the movie whatsoever, I've looked at it and just gone, I just have nothing on this. Like, I can't even try and be interested. The movie Her, 2013.
2013?
Yes, fuck, it is a long while back.
Fucking hell, that's over 10 years.
I know, numbers.
11 of them.
11 whole numbers.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, it's been out a while. I hadn't watched this for fucking age. Like, same. It came out in 2013. It took me until about maybe 2 years ago to watch this for the first time. Yeah. But I'd forever known about it as that movie where Joaquin Phoenix has a moustache and it's red. From how annoying I am about movies, you might think this was one of my selections. It was not.
If anyone asks, it is.
No, that's not true. It is. That's why I'm clearing the record now. It was Nathan's bring to the table.
Oh, fuck, I just saw next week. Oh, my fucking God. Oh, okay. Sorry. What?
General thoughts, Nathan.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I see, I did that classic thing where in my head I had an idea of what this movie was. Okay.
Okay, yeah.
And then I watched the movie and it was not that at all. So I was very thrown off. Okay. I got mad at the movie because it wasn't doing what I thought it should be doing, okay?
Okay, yeah.
At certain points. And that's my fault, okay? I fully understand that, okay? I'm not blaming the movie for that at all. Overall, I think it's a good movie. I think it's very well shot. I think it looks very beautiful. It's very good. I think there's some good performances, some surprising performances. I think it's a...
Did you think the AI was going to be sinister?
Yes.
Yeah.
And also, no.
Okay.
Your thoughts.
You're going to throw me a bony. Help me
out. Your thoughts, and then we'll get into it.
I think it's lovely. I think it's
okay. See, and here's my issue, okay? Describing... Before I watched this movie, if you would have told me that the movie Her, 2013, apparently... If you had described it as lovely, I'd have thought, something fucking wrong with you, mate. What the fuck are you talking about? Lovely?
Okay, yeah,
are you kidding me?
Oh, you thought it was like malicious ownership of an AI, kind of Black Mirror style.
Black Mirror is a word I had in my head many times whilst watching this movie, okay?
Okay,
It's a word that I thought about quite a lot. And it was very much not that.
I was to say, Charlie Brooker wishes, man.
I don't know if he does, though.
I think he does. This is deeper than stuff that he's done about AI.
No, I know, but I think Charlie Brooker wants to do a very different thing, though. Like, yeah. I don't think this is what Charlie's going for at all. I think the reason I struggle to connect with it is because I'm watching this movie in 2024 when our relationship with AI is quite different to what it was in 2013. And, you know, there's all this stuff going on at the moment about how AI is, it is helpful in certain tasks, and it's, you know, a great tool when it's used correctly. But when you have, you know, things like generative AI and programs that are specifically written to automize jobs and force people out of work, then it's quite bad. And I was uncomfortable with a lot of this movie because of that. You know, I had my own views on AI in my head for like a lot of this movie, but then I also had to like rationalize that it's not from today. You know?
Yeah, it's very much yesteryear's idea of what AI could be, and there are some things it gets right and some things that are wrong. But like, I think I don't know, man. For me, I do see where you're coming from, but I'm also in a similar boat because I didn't watch this too long ago for the first time. Like, I watched this for the first time late 2022. So, like, wasn't as prevalent as it is right now, and it was, you know, pre-strikes and everything else. But, like, there was still this whiff of AI emerging and being this kind of malicious, sinister force in a workplace, and it still had this kind of crypto bro presence to it where, like, any kind of association with AI was typically negative and one that people were like, fucking these guys again. Do you know what I mean? So I went into it kind of in the same boat, although maybe not as kind of recently kind of worried about it. But no, I don't know, man. I think this is like one of the more interesting takes on it. When you watch a movie like fucking Ex Machina and stuff, like that's the, as much as I enjoy Ex Machina, that's the go-to idea. You know, Charlie Brooker, It's this vibe of AI is inherently sinister. There's going to be something wrong with it. You can only use it, especially if it's like a sentient being in this kind of.
I don't wish to disparage you and call your interpretation wrong, but I would argue that Ex Machina is more about the human doing wrong with AI.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, it focuses on that sinister element, like that. That kind of, and I don't mean AI is the evil participant here. I mean that its use or its inclusion is malicious in some way or another. Like it's never. I think most of the AI interaction in this movie is actually kind of this really beautiful look at kind of they use AI as a setting to explore human connection,
and that's like, what threw me off because like I feel like for the whole movie I was like. I was waiting for it to like get weird and seedy, you know?
Yeah.
I was waiting for this guy to be ostracized. I was waiting for his secret relationship to come out and him and all his friends to be like, "You're dating a fucking robot?" And him to be like, No, it's not like that, honest, I promise. But he's like, "Yeah, I'm dating a robot." I'm like, What?
Yeah, and other people are too. And
yes, it's just this accepted thing. And that here I am sounding like a bigot, like, but it's wrong and gross.
But no, but I know where you're coming from, because again, I think the only way to interact with this movie is to try and remove yourself from that AI kind of space, because at this point in 2013, I could be wildly wrong here, but like in the mainstream opinion, it hadn't been used to heavily exploit people.
I think Siri had literally just come out around this time.
Well, Siri, how far really could it have gone?
Siri was quite... Oh, sorry. There she goes.
That might happen a fair bit.
There she goes. That word. Only recently came out in 2013 or maybe 2012. And the other one, which I won't say because I might start someone else's, but... The one owned by Jeff Bezos. I don't think that was even out at the time. So,
no, I don't think so. It feels newer than 2013.
Yeah.
No, look, this is the thing with it, right? It's one of the movies that, yeah, unfortunately, it's like the Creator effect, right? Like you watch the Creator and you go, oh, it's such a shame this came out the year it came out. Like
what, this year?
No, 2023, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, but no, because you can look at it and see in places it is well-intentioned, but unfortunately it's just, you know, they just take a weird view of what side you should pick, even though they humanize it and make it justifiable in the movie sense. But I think this...
Gareth Edwards chose the side of AI.
I know, and AI. Fuck him. Yeah. No, but I think this is nice, man. I like that this is...
He made the worst Godzilla movie.
No, that's not true. He made the best Godzilla movie.
He made the worst Godzilla movie.
He made the best one that remembers he's as tall as a fucking skyscraper.
He didn't make Godzilla King of the Monsters 2019.
Godzilla, I'm Asleep of the Monsters, you mean? Because I'm bored. That's my alternate title.
Well, you're wrong.
I like this a lot. I think it's not just limited to romance. I think it speaks broadly on the importance of human connection and, like, allowing it into your life. And I think it's a beautiful movie. Once you'd got on board with it and you realized what it was about, where do you land on it kind of now?
I don't know. I like it, I think. I think it's a good movie.
Mm.
It is. I was expecting it to say something. And it does, but it doesn't say what I was expecting it to say. So I'm like, ah, you know? I feel thrown and I feel like I just watched propaganda about AI for 2 hours.
Oh,
you know?
Really?
Well, no, but like...
I don't think it makes any positive case for it. I think it explores it, and this is why I don't think it makes it
look bad, though. It at no point is it like, well, there's moments, but it never really gets into that territory where it's like, hey, this is creepy and this isn't actually real love and emotion. And I know that's kind of like the point of it. Kind of like, because they do question that in the movie and stuff.
I do see where you're coming from, but I think like the only way to interact with this is trying to like put that out of the forefront of your mind, because it is that instance where we view AI in today's day and age as a certain specific thing that should be kind of, you know, it's widespread and exploitative use should be condemned. Like, that's not something that I'm cool about.
But it's not easy to just separate that, though. It's not easy to go, hey, you know this thing that's pretty damaging and you don't like? Just forget everything about it and pretend it's pretty cool for 2 hours.
But I think it is easy to do that because the movie's not... It never once introduces it as... And in 2013's lens, right, it never introduces it as a thing to run away from. It absolutely criticizes it. And it's kind of use in the day-to-day in terms of... I think the movie is largely advocating for, hey, human connection's always going to beat this. But it explores human connection through using this by showing you, hang on a minute, this would be pretty good if it wasn't a fucking laptop saying all this stuff to me or a little phone. Like, it makes you question your view of it. Or, like, as an audience member, it makes you kind of question how you see... and define what is real around you and like how concepts can hold certain importance to you. And I don't know, man. I really love it. I think this is a really fucking good movie.
I really would have liked if we had seen more of the negative side of it, though, because I just think it glorified it for too much. It was like, sure, Joaquin Phoenix and... first of all, how good is Scarlett Johansson in this movie?
mate. She's insane. Mate, I got some bits on her. She's got some quotes that are amazing. There's some facts about the making of this movie with her that are just jaw-dropping.
I already know all the facts about the making of this movie with Scarlett Johansson Lawrence.
No!
I already know that she was, that Samantha was originally played by another actress, and she was on set, and she was called Samantha, but then they had to recast it because they didn't seem right, Lawrence. I read IMDb, okay?
I did more than that. I read articles, Nathan.
Well, I didn't. Anyway.
I read more words. I'm smarter than you.
No, you did, but you didn't say them, and that's what counts.
No!
No, she's great. It's a really good performance from Scarlett Johansson. Chris Pratt was a surprise. I was like, oh, what are you doing here? Well, there's a shock. Yeah,
everyone's a little weirdo.
Everyone's got a little mustache.
Right.
There's a nice aesthetic to this. It's like, and it's like very close to today's aesthetic, I feel like, as well. Like, this is like very close to how, like, you know, trendy young men are dressing today.
Yeah. Where
with their little shirts tucked into their trousers and their clean shaven and they got a little mustache. I'd love to pull off the clean shaven and mustache look, you know.
I would too, but I don't have a thick enough mustache for it.
You see, I don't have, well, I don't have that, but also I don't have a strong enough jaw for it. You gotta have a good jaw.
Oh, true.
No, yeah. Chins. You can't have no chins without thing.
That is very true. Yeah, especially when like people always often say that the beards are the men's makeup.
No, there's a reason why bigger men will always have a beard, because it's you know, it just. It hides the many chins, okay?
Waistcoat hides the sins, and a beard hides the chins. That's just how it goes.
Another happy wisdom, take that away.
No, I loved the vibe of this movie. Like, yeah, firstly, I think Joaquin Phoenix, he's not shy about looking like a... Yes, he is the Joker. But he's not shy about looking like a fucking creep on the screen, right?
He'll always look like a little creep.
No, but in this, right, like, he looks great, man. That, like, his... How many men do you know that can pull off a bright, sunshine yellow button-down shirt?
Oh, by the way, let me just stop the podcast completely for a second. Have you seen those recent photos of Mark Zuckerberg?
Oh, he's fucking shredded.
Why is he hot now? What's going on? Why is Zuckerberg hot? He's like turned into a fuck boy. Someone called him a Zuck boy, which I very much enjoyed.
Oh, for God's
sake. What's going? He's got like a chain. He's got like a beard and a mustache now.
Yeah, but he does nothing, does he? Like with his, I'm sure he does stuff with his day. Like, but he could go to the gym.
I don't care about his fucking calendar, Lawrence. I'm just saying. No, but
he's got all the time in the world to go out and look nice.
Well, yeah, but he used to look like a fucking robot. Okay.
I think maybe age is catching up for him, and he's like, I've got to switch up this vibe, or I'm going to be looking 60 by the time I'm 40.
He's done something. He switched it up, and now I feel weird to say that Mark Zuckerberg is apparently hot. So that's just something we all have to deal with, okay? I'm not happy about it either, but hey, it's just a fact now, okay?
Okay, good.
Look, no one is less happy about this than me, okay? But we all just got to deal with it, all right?
Indeed. Right, the movie?
Yeah, anyway, back to the movie.
Back to the movie, okay. No, the vibe of it is very good. I quite like that there's this... you're right, the whole thing of it, right, it's very like futury, but also kind of based in a weird idea of what 2013's future would look like from the perspective of 2013. Like, there was parts of it that were shot in Shanghai, because it's always hilarious that, like, whenever America wants to film something that looks slightly high-tech, they're like...
Shanghai.
Yeah, we need to go to somewhere that has a vastly different culture to us, because also we're just stunted in the past. We give too much money to the military, and we've got nothing left for anything else.
Yeah,
which is always a bit of fun. But like, you've got like Chris Pratt is very much like, there are some scenes I almost thought it was a gag at one point, because every time you see him, his belt gets higher up his fucking torso. And it's like this weird. He ends up looking like, you know, the 90s animated Peter Parker.
Like, oh yes,
he's got a stupid little fucking little two button shirt on, and his slacks are up to his fucking waist, or up to his kind of like mid torso.
Yeah,
and his belt. Yeah, he looks like that. They've all got these kind of 70s tashes. It does feel very old but new in a way.
It feels very Gen Z.
Hmm.
Very, and again, that was another thing that kind of threw me off, because again, I was like, modern day relationship with AI, sort of modern day aesthetic and everything like this, and I'm like, I don't know, just left me feeling uneasy.
I see where you're coming from, but it's just, it wasn't ever trying to explore any of the
negatives. I know. I fully understand this is my issue. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
I'm not blaming the movie for this, but I can only talk about my experience with it, you know?
No, talk about someone else's experience, Nathan.
All right. Okay. So my friend Jeff, he watched this movie.
Yeah.
And he thought it was pretty bad.
Oh, fucking. Well, I don't want to hear about what Jeff has to say. Well, bring Nathan back.
Okay. I don't like it. No, I do. It's fine.
No, okay, good. There's all sorts that I could say about this, right? I think.
Well, why don't you?
All right, but then I will. The movie, it opens with the day job that he has, which is writing love letters.
Love letters.
Yeah, well, scribing them into his computer, who then kind of writes them out. But I don't know, but it's for other people. Other people pay him to write their love letters to their respective loved ones.
I think at one point he even said that he's been like writing a couple's love letters back and forth for a number of years. So like neither of them are writing. It's not like just one guy is like, oh, I can't be asked. I'll just pay this guy. Like he's doing it both. He's doing it for both of them going back and forth. So neither of them have any fucking idea what they're saying. They're just like, I don't fucking know, I'll just get this guy to do it and then I'll just read whatever she says back to me. But it's all just fucking the Joker writing it instead.
Yeah, the Joker writing it. No, I like that element of it, though. It's very, like, it's very the human race is complicit in just the laziness. Mm. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, someone will do it. Get a computer to do it. Or, like, pay a service. Pay someone out of sight, out of mind to handle this for me.
The impersonal... such there's no it's just a press of a button, you're not actually doing anything.
But I quite like it, man. This is why I love this movie, right? It opens cleverly.
It's almost like, you know, if you have an artist, say, and they craft like a wonderful great piece of art, they spend hours, you know, crafting drawing and you know, doing their brushstroke techniques and whatever and however they do their particular process of art, but then you've got some fuckhead in his basement who presses four buttons on a keyboard, puts it into fucking Dali, and then goes, hey, I made this art, give me $600 for it.
Yep.
And then some fuckhead on Etsy is like, yeah, sure, that sounds good to me, mate. I'll do that.
Nathan, anyway, get over this hump for today, all right? We're talking about this movie on the movie's terms.
Sorry, Lawrence, I didn't realize you loved AI.
Oh, okay. Here we go. There's only one of us that's ever spent money on it.
I fucking knew he was going to bring it up.
Well, then don't bring it up.
Also, that's not true. You spent money on it for your fucking editing program.
No.
Do you or do you not spend money on Adobe Pro?
On Adobe, yeah.
Yes, and does not part of that include an AI?
Probably, but I don't actually use any of their AI.
Touché.
No, that's not my fault. They developed it after I'd paid money.
Checkmate, atheist, checkmate.
Oh, by that account, then, I've spent a lot more money
there you go.
On it. All right. Anyway.
How fucked is Adobe's, like,
oh, fuck. Nathan, please, the movie.
What? I'd like to have a little chat.
This is the 18th tangent in a minute.
I've got a wine. I'm loose.
I can tell. It's normally more fun when the other one has a wine as well.
Well, it's not my fault, is it?
Oh, Lord. I like it, Nathan. I like that he's speaking artificially, right? It's bollocks. The Joker. It's
why? What's he doing?
He's speaking words of affection. It's artifice, right? It's fake. It introduces you very steadily to even the most human interaction, which is a human paying another human for a service.
Mm.
It's still layered and steeped in this kind of idea of, this is bollocks.
And
this
I wish the movie delved into that more, I think. I don't think it dives into letters? It enough. Not specifically with the letters, but this idea of the human connection being gone and stuff. Because it does touch on it here and there, and it is quite subtle in its approach to it. But just for my money, I don't know, I kind of wanted more of that, really. I don't. For me, it didn't... It felt like it was kind of... apprehensive to fully commit to the idea of it, really.
I disagree. I think that there's a massive part of this movie, arguably, I think, like, towards the end, it becomes the sole focus of the movie, is showing you that Maybe so I'd agree with you on a larger scale. The world seems very complicit in just letting this kind of human connection slowly fizzle and dwindle out. But Theodore, the Joker's connection, it's very much... the Joker's kind of entire relevancy in the story.
Drop the... Oh. It's cooler.
It's cleaner, Nathan.
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
You don't get to fucking tell me to stop bringing up that movie for 2 weeks straight and then fucking bring it up. Now that you think he's sexy or whatever, leave it, all right?
I haven't even seen the movie. Well, I have seen it, but like only when it came out.
Yeah.
In 2008, I want to say.
No, 2010, I think.
To be honest, I don't care.
No, I'd argue that Joker's entire point in this is that he has this... it's about him trying to reconnect. You know, he's you meet up with his ex-wife later on who have the large kind of... reasoning for their divorce is that he enjoyed the appeal of having a wife without any of the obligation that came with it, you know, this kind of committing to this connection. And not just, he says at one point he left her alone in the relationship, and he's obviously a man that has, like, he writes fake love letters, right, for his job. Like, that should tell you everything you need to know about how much he values aesthetics of something over the thing itself. And I think that this entire movie is about him kind of slowly learning to open his mind to those connections. Because at the end of this movie, the AI that he's fallen in love with, Samantha, outgrows him and moves beyond him. And all he has left with him are humans.
Even these AI hoes ain't loyal.
Fucks! Fuck it. I want a warning next time you drink before a podcast. I want a warning. I want a warning so I can cancel the podcast.
Why?
Because I'm telling you cool points.
I'm just having fun.
I'm good. I'm glad. You've got such a cheeky grin on your face.
Is it a crime for me to enjoy myself, Lawrence?
Oh, I've been looking forward to this all day. I've been making notes.
We're gonna have a good time.
I would argue that that's the point. I think there's loads of fucking.
I wanted him to be a weird little creep.
Yeah, but that's on you, man.
I know it is. I've said this. But I wanted him to be... Well, I don't know if I did. I don't know if I wanted him to be.
But how many times have we seen that, man? It's so boring.
I know, but I was expecting him to be... want is probably the wrong choice of words. I was expecting him to be a wee little creep, okay? And he wasn't. And this is what threw me through a loop, okay? I was expecting him to be a weird little loner, incel, Ryan Gosling in Blade Runner sort of guy, okay? Who's just in love with a robot, and he hates all other humans, and he doesn't like it. But no, he's very charismatic. He's got good friends and relationships, and he's risen up Olivia Wilde and having a great time. And he had quite a successful relationship for the most part with Rooney Mara, his now wife. Actually, they're married though. Mm.
Are they?
Yeah, they're married. They have a son.
Ah, I never knew this.
Yeah, they have a son called River.
Oh, check them. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
They should have called him Young Indiana Jones.
They should have called him the Joker.
What was I
saying? Before that excellent joke about the Joker.
he was risen up Olivia Wilde.
Oh yeah, he was a very charismatic man. Like he was never a creep. And I was like, this isn't what I thought the movie was, and then I got angry.
See, I think the opposite of that Olivia Wilde scene. I think he
you
is.
You think
a creep.
He was a creep in that Olivia Wilde scene?
She calls him a creep.
Yeah, and I didn't understand that because what did he do that was creepy? She was very strongly coming on to him, you know, and he called it off as well.
See, yeah, I don't think it's not creepy in that kind of like sexual sense. It's not creepy in a kind of predatory way. It's creepy to me in a way. And again, this is something I've only picked up on the second watch, because the first one I was kind of in the boat you were in, which is like...
After you've watched your End and Explained videos, is it?
No, I watched the movie twice. No, because the first time I watched this, I was like you. I was in the boat of just scene to scene. What is this movie even about?
Yeah.
It's AI, and I don't know anything else about it. But the first thing that happens when he like gets Samantha is that he like sets her up and he's asked a few questions. And he's asked the question about his relationship with his mother. And he's like, we have a good relationship. And then he completely like falters. And then he's like, sometimes when I'm talking about me, she talks about her and I find that off-putting. And then it cuts him off. And that's all you get about his relationship with his mum. until this date, which I thought was really interesting, because the conversation is flowing naturally. He is charismatic. He is kind of like they obviously have some sort of connection.
Mm.
And he,
I thought they had quite a good connection, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, but not. It's obviously not the same as the one with Samantha, because that's.
But you see, this is the thing, because I was expecting it not to be, because at this point we'd already seen a bit of him and Samantha and their sort of chemistry, and it's like good chemistry. They get along and stuff, and so in my head I thought it was going to be, oh well, this date's going to be a dud. Then this date is going to be like, do you see the news earlier? You know, like just fucking complete yeah. dead. But there was, look, maybe this day is more about me. I would have called that a successful date, okay?
Right up until...
Well, even after she left and said you're a creep.
Not that point, obviously. But up until everything... I mean, clearly it was going well, considering where it was fucking headed, all right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's only because Olivia Wilde suddenly had commitment issues that...
No.
the whole thing got fucked up.
See, I...
Or maybe that was his commitment issues. I don't know. Someone had commitment issues.
I think it's definitely his, and I think they're also subconscious. But I, no, the
but also
the reason
it's
I think
first date. Let's calm down, all right? We don't need a marriage proposal on the first date. Right?
Yeah, chill, all right? Relax.
Yeah.
No, but I think it's a good scene, right? She calls him she calls him like a puppy. He's interested in his game. He's telling her about his little game, which we can talk about in a sec.
It's a very funny game.
It's a very funny game.
I like the little baby guy.
Nathan, let me get to the end of this fucking film.
I'm talking about the movie.
I said we'll get to the game in a minute.
I've been silenced on my own podcast.
No, but the conversation's flowing. He's talking about the game, which he really enjoys, and she doesn't really interact with it in a meaningful way. She kind of just says, "Oh, you're so cute. You're like a puppy," and then immediately says, "Oh, actually, I was in this country and I found the puppy." And then she completely bulldozes over what he was talking about to talk about herself, which he said is a thing that his mum does and he doesn't like it. And then after that point, he falls into this weird kind of like artifice role. Like you see, there's something really subtle in his performance where he entirely shifts it to be people pleasing and fake and charismatic and more like larger than he was a second ago. And that's why I think she calls him a creep, because she picks up on this element of like,
how would she know that?
Because she's just watched him like completely go, I'm super interested, I'm giving you all the signals that I'm interested, and then go, no, actually not interested in this.
Yeah,
because when it comes down to commitment, he can't commit. He can put on the bravado of, look at me, I'm interacting like a person.
Let's just talk about this rationally for a fucking second, okay? This is a first date, okay? A first date that was set up by people, all right? So it's a blind date as well, for the starters. You're not fucking knowing anything about this person until you get to the fucking restaurant yourself or whatever, okay? And then suddenly she's like, hey, we're going to have sex, okay? But before we do, I need you to tell me you love me, okay? And I need you to pull a ring out as well and tell me we're going to spend the rest of our lives together, okay? And I'm being hyperbolic. I know, I get that, okay?
Yeah,
but like,
okay.
She does, like, in that moment, come. I think it's perfectly rational in that moment for someone to be like, whoa, let's lay this down a little bit, all right? I think it's fine for someone to get a little bit uncomfortable with that. And I don't think that makes them a creep because they're suddenly like, I don't know about this one, you know?
No, and look, there are two perspectives to it in terms of the two characters that are in the scene will obviously view it differently. But I think that, yeah, she's full on, way too much so, for like you say, for a first date. But then also the flip
Lawrence
side of
just
it
called
is...
her a slag.
No, I didn't. Nathan said she had commitment issues or something a minute
I
ago.
Did, yeah.
But no, there's something overarching with the fact that the movie is about human connection and how he relishes it until he recoils when the second it actually becomes real and the second he actually has to meaningfully interact with someone. It happens again in the sex scene, or the sort of failed sex scene, where Samantha tries to introduce a third party to connect them, he can't.
Oh, that was weird. That was weird. I'm with him on that. That's weird.
Yeah, it is weird. But that, again, this is what I mean about the movie challenging your kind of notion of what is real and what is connection. Because like that, right, it's objectively, it's the only what people would perceive to be normal scene in the movie where two consenting parties are interested in having sex with one another. Right?
He made it very clear before that whole event even happened that he was uncomfortable with that and didn't want to do it. Okay?
Yeah.
I don't think he's the bad guy in that scenario.
No, but he's not.
So why is he a creep? I don't get it.
Because he's not... Fuck. He's not a creep. You're thinking about this all in a predatory sense, right? He's a creep because he has that chameleon-like ability to revel in the experience of human connection until he pulls it back entirely. And he doesn't...
Okay.
It's a bravado. He's always uncomfortable. He just pretends not to be until he stops.
You call that... I think this is the issue, okay? Because you call that being a creep. I call that masking, okay?
I don't call it being a creep. She calls it being a creep. Because it is creepy.
But you... There you go.
No, in the sense that to someone... that has been on a date and suddenly sees a light switch in someone. But
do we not all do that? We have different, you know, the version I put across myself to you and okay, first of all, version I put across myself on this podcast and the actual version, the real version of me, those are a little bit different. This is all heightened for comedy effect, kind of.
Yeah, of course.
Not to break the fucking magic.
But, like this.
But this is heightened a little bit for comedy. I don't bully you nearly as much as I do on the fucking podcast. Okay,
Nathan, why are you talking like this? Shut up. This heightened voice you're doing?
Stop. But then also, I'm very different around you to how I am with like work colleagues and that kind of stuff. And then I'm different. Even I'm different with my mum to how I am with you know you and everything like that. I feel like that's not creepy. That's it's natural to have. To change your behavior based on who you're interacting with. I don't think that's creepy at all.
No, it and...
I think it's perfectly natural, if I'm being honest. And I think it's very human.
Yeah. but this is the thing, right? It's only with other human beings, right? He only pulls this up. He can speak willingly and freely completely to Samantha.
And right? I can understand why.
Yeah,
because no judgment there. Because it's a thing.
He doesn't see it like that. That's where I think you're not on the side of the movie. He doesn't see it as a thing. He thinks this is the realest connection he's ever had in his life. The ending, one of the ending lines, he says, "I've never loved anyone like I've loved you. Anyone, not anything." He views this very much as the realest connection he's ever had until it is forcibly removed from him.
That's true. That's true. Until Brian Cox steals his girl.
I need to edit it. You'll come to learn this. There are so many Succession audio clips that should be in place of that scene that would fit perfectly.
Great.
Anyway, let's. We've been on this date for far too long.
I don't think he's a creep, and I disapprove of the word choice of creep because, based on how you were describing it to me, that just sounds a little bit ableist.
Well, no, because I do the same thing. Like you're saying with the masking, everyone does have that. Thing, but I think it wouldn't be unreasonable for someone on a date also, by the way, we've seen that she is extremely forward and open and honest, and like she's very much out there, putting herself out there to be seen vulnerably. When she sees that he's doing the same and then pulls back entirely, it's probably an embarrassing experience for her, where she does feel suddenly like, I am not comfortable in your presence. Like, I don't know, I can see why she would go there. I think maybe creep is harsh, but I can see from a character perspective why she would see it like that.
You called him creepy. You agreed. So.
Well, I think there's an element of it that is slightly creepy.
I don't understand that.
No, but when you factor in all the other surrounding stuff that the movie is telling you about his relationship with human connection and how he withholds it.
But he seems to have a good relationship with human connection for the most part. He's not some weird recluse. He's got mates and stuff. He's a little bit down because he's been going through a divorce. I think that's understandable that you might be a little bit less than, oh, hey, I fucking top of the mood all the time. I think that's fully fair for the bloke, all right? But he's got Amy Adams. She's in this movie. She's got wig.
And thank God... It was due to see Amy Adams in a better movie after last week.
Amy Adams, this is Amy Adams Prill.
Fuck, you know. We found a way.
We did it. April. She's not in. Adam. I don't know. Who's there? There's something there.
Oh, God. April Adams.
No, you just said... you just put a last name after the month. You didn't do anything.
What do you want to talk about with this? What do you want to discuss?
What do I want to discuss?
I got hella notes, but I don't want to monopolize the conversation.
Okay. The phone sex scene was very funny.
Which one?
The first one, where he's like before he gets the OS or whatever, and then he goes on this. And I guess it's just some hey, let's have phone sex. Let's have phone sex together.
It's the most efficient Tinder you've ever seen.
Yeah. They just send each other a message like, yeah, sure, I'm in for that. Let's go. And then she's like. She's like, pick up that fucking dead cat and choke me with it. And he's like, what? Okay.
I watching this for the first time, I was thinking like, this got to be like, I got to the end of the movie and I was like, what was the dead cat about? Like, I was expecting there to be some sort of like thematic resurgence of the cat. Or like, what does this mean? And then I got to the end of it and I just felt stupid because I was like, oh, no, it's just that people are fucking weird.
Yeah, it's just...
The joke is that lonely people can be strange.
Yeah. And I did, like... But, like, she obviously finished, for want of a better word.
Now you get coy on the podcast.
Well, I'm not... I don't get coy, but I just think it's better than saying she came. Oh, there's nothing wrong with that, I guess. Whatever. Anyway, she came, Lawrence. If you insist on me saying the word.
Okay? I do.
Thank you. And then she's like, oh, that was great. Like, oh, I really enjoyed that. Anyway, bye.
Yeah, I really found that funny. Oh, God. And it was intense once the dead cat got involved.
Yeah, it was very intense. Like,
yeah.
I'll tell you what I did enjoy. Sorry. And this will make me sound like a little creep, but the sex scene with fucking Samantha... The Scarlett Johansson sex scene, the way it just like fades to black whilst it's happening. I thought that was very effective, I thought.
I loved it. Mm. I like, firstly, it's a beautiful scene. Again, because of the fact that, you know, he's had phone sex before in this movie.
I bet and you had your headphones cranked up, didn't you? And you were like...
I didn't know the screen went to black, even because I'd already shut my eyes listening. No, but there is there's this loveliness to it that's like, if we've seen two phone sex sequences in this movie, this one being the second one and the one we just spoke about being the first.
Would you call this phone sex? I guess it kind of is.
It absolutely is. Well, I mean,
In like, technically, yes, I guess.
Yeah.
But, you see, I called it a sex scene.
Well, it is, I guess. Yeah.
So there you go.
But,
and you mocked me.
No, I didn't mock you. I'm just saying one of them feels entirely more transactional and one of them feels far more human and honest.
They hated Jesus for he told the truth. Oh,
for the lie. There he goes again. No, I like that it went to black. I like that it kind of puts you in this headspace of like you're experiencing entirely, well, maybe not entirely everything they're experiencing, but like you're in this space them where it's just, no, okay, good. Where you're just there experiencing it and you're kind of in Samantha's shoes where she's not, there's nothing else to it. There's no bodies involved. It's just, it's a black screen. The only thing left is that semblance of human connection. And
I was still wary of Samantha at this point. I was like, what's going on here? You know?
Yeah.
I was skeptical because I'm like, so why are you moaning? You're a robot. You don't have a body. So you're obviously not doing what one would do during those events, okay?
Yeah.
Why am I getting weirdly coy about it? You're not touching yourself, okay? So,
no.
Like, I know she's, like, replicating human voice and emotion and stuff, but I don't know. I guess this is me just doing a big old...
No, I don't even think it is, because they bring it up
the way I integrated that?
I did like the way you integrated, but I've heard it before.
I know, but that's good, right?
It is good. I like the they do bring it up again a bit later with the he says like why do you do that with your voice when she like takes she goes Right, anyway, and like to talk. Like she has a deep breath before saying something that is like quite meaningful. And he says, like, he just cuts her off completely. And it's like, why do you fucking do that? What is that? Like, you don't breathe. You don't have a body. You don't need to breathe. So what are you doing? And it's just that, like, firstly, it's there to show you a nitpicking. It's there to show you that he's just picking her apart slowly.
That's classic relationship stuff there. Those, like,
yeah,
the fun little... Sorry, I'm just pouring myself into a glass of wine. Those fun little... that's the bottle finish, by the way.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Two glasses.
Fantastic.
Two glasses. It goes too quick these days. Yeah, that's like classic relationship stuff, though. Those cute little quirks and gestures and things that your partner did, which, you know, were the reason you fell in love with them. They wipe that little bit of toothpaste off the corner of their mouth, and you're like, oh, I love the way you do that. But then after 6 years, you're like, will you fucking wipe your mouth and stop, you know?
Scarlett Johansson has... And this, I read this in my article, Nathan. I don't know about you, if you read this on IMDb, like a little goober.
What are you saying to me?
No, I'm just saying there's a nice quote. Scarlett Johansson has like a really interesting kind of... she was asked about the progression of the relationship in this, and she spoke more broadly about relationships in general. Mm-hmm. And she says that at the beginning you have this kind of period where you're figuring each other out, so you hold nothing back because... in the relationship that you're kind of entering into, you want to be seen fully and see them fully.
I don't know if I agree with that.
Well, no, I think I definitely do. You definitely hold
do
less.
I guess.
In the rizzing stage, in the early relationship stage, when you're fully kind of acclimated to each other and you want to be your truest depiction of yourself.
Do you want to be your truest depiction of yourself in the early stages, though? Surely you're like... I'll be the most impressive version of myself, which is not the realest version of myself. You want to be the, you know, you're hiding all your farts and
I get, like yeah, that. In that sense, but I mean, in a superficial sense, I guess, but like in an emotionally honest sense, I think.
Not me.
See, I agree wholeheartedly with what she's saying.
And
she's,
only one of us is married.
Do with that what you will. But she says at the beginning, you know, you want to see them fully, you want to be seen, and as the years pass, you become dependent on them, you rely on them for specific things, so you shut them out from other aspects of life that don't necessarily correlate with those specific things you rely on them for. Like, for example, you come home, you have a bad day at work, right? You count on them to cheer you up, so you don't tell them you had a bad day at work, so you withhold a negative in your life that before you would have shared, because you're counting on them to cheer you up. And you don't want to talk about your day. You just want the instant gratification of being cheered up from seeing them. Like, it's, I don't know, it's just something I'd never really considered before, that there is this, the more you know and love someone, the less you want to burden them with things. And suddenly, in this weird, almost respectful way, honest conversations become dishonest because you are withholding things back.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Not even a little bit. I'm very confused right now.
I don't know the exact quote.
What are we talking about? What is this?
This is like what's Scarlett Johansson was saying about relationships.
Is it Scarlett Johansson or Johansson?
I've always said it was Johansson.
I think it's Johansson.
One of us will be right. One of us is wrong.
I don't know.
Which is it?
Anyway, what's she saying?
No, I just think that's a very honest and nice way to look at it. Something I hadn't considered before about the reality of
relationships. What's that got to do with the movie? What's going on?
Well, that's what happens in this scenario, right? Like, they start off very much so open and honest. And then after he sees his ex-wife and she kind of criticizes him for being dependent on her, she calls it, he's having phone sex with a laptop or something.
She's the only one who has a normal reaction about this whole thing, by the way.
No, I see. I think the movie paints that as very... they even call her. They say she's volatile. She's
yeah, and I think that's the issue. Again, she's the only one who has a normal reaction.
Yes, a 2023 reaction. Yes, but get out of that space.
2024, Lawrence.
Okay. All right, but the movie's not in that space, and you shouldn't be.
Well,
either.
I am. Okay.
No, but they make this point about how, like, after he sees her and she kind of says, she kind of almost belittles him for it and makes him feel smaller about it and kind of ashamed of it. Then he starts withholding himself from Samantha and being kind of, how was your day? Oh, yeah, it's fine. She says, oh, you sound distracted. He's like, yeah, I'm just doing this. Like the conversations flow so much less. Mm-hmm. And that's because he's relying on her to be present and to be there to kind of cheer him up and be a distraction. But when he can't give anything back because he's withholding the fact that he's had a shit day so he doesn't have to talk about it, then it suddenly becomes a dishonest, one-sided conversation.
Cool, man.
Fuck.
I don't have anything to say about your article. I'm sorry, okay? I haven't read your article. Okay?
But anything else? There's a million other things we can talk about.
Tell me what you want to talk about. So I know you're bristling to touch on all these topics, so it's fine, okay?
I like that Theodore is in this kind of purgatory.
Who?
The Joker.
Thank you.
Thank you. Joker's in purgatory. He's kind of stalling on finalizing his divorce. He, again, loves the idea of being married, but hasn't really been in a meaningful relationship with this woman in over a year, I think they say it is. Mm. And it's just the thesis of his entire character, right? He's married. He likes it. He outwardly says, I like being married.
Mm.
But he has no obligation to this woman whatsoever. They're not in each other's lives at all beyond attorneys trying to get them both to sign papers. I don't know. I just thought that was quite nice. He's the movie is outwardly saying to you, this man wants love. He has no idea how to get it.
Mm.
Which I thought was quite nice. Yeah. Faltering at the last hurdle. He's just putting something off. Like, oh, I could finalize that, but then who am I if I'm not a married man? And who am I without someone I love? Like, I don't know. It's interesting.
Does that not make it seem all the more strange to you that it never really kind of seems to condemn this kind of relationship?
The Samantha relationship?
Yeah.
Not at all, I don't think, no. What did you want to be condemned about it? Because you're on this. You've been saying this.
Because...
what part of their relationship was fundamentally wrong that should have been condemned?
It's not a real relationship. It's Samantha is a bunch of ones and zeros who has designed and written by, I don't know, fucking either another AI or a bunch of fucking people who write. I don't know how it all works, but whatever. She's fucking ones and zeros, and she's not having genuine thoughts. Everything she says is designed to get the best possible reaction out of the person interacting with her, okay? And then even fucking hell, at one point in the movie, it's like she's also seeing 8,000 other people as well, you know? I feel like that should be condemned. I feel like it gets close to like this idea, like this is longing for this connection in a fucking program designed by a corporation isn't something you should be doing. You should be longing for human connection and not just something which is, first of all, you pay for, and second of all, is designed to give you the gratification that you're seeking, no matter what.
See, I don't think this is designed to do that. I think maybe at first that's the company. That's probably
The AI evolves though. I think it is designed to do that, but the AI evolves.
Oh, almost. I don't see in any real world scenario why someone would be like, "Let's just all have a mate." Like it's obviously designed to be this kind of buddy thing, but it's also like a gap in the market, right? They all have these things. There's this funny kind of sequence where he asks his little his robot to read his emails, and when he asks her to read emails, she goes, "Okay, Theodore, I will read your emails." Like, she's saying,
well, they do say, like, the it's called OS1 is the operating system, and they do describe it as, this is the first artificial intelligence that we can interact with. I'm like, but they just had an artificial intelligence, though, like.
But it's to a lesser extent.
It is to a lesser extent. It is less evolved than this version, but it's still.
That's more like a pre-programmed. Yeah. It's a call and response. This one is.
But it's still
Samantha's
clearly
one is capable
AI,
of
But it's
thought.
Still clearly AI, though.
Yeah, but again, it's just give yourself a ding.
Okay.
Thank you. Because who gives a shit ultimately?
Yeah, I know. It's fine. It's true. Yes, I know. It's semantics. I get it.
See, this is, I don't know, for me, like, I do see where you're coming from, but the movie preaches that whilst this relationship can be real, it's not the right relationship for him.
Mm.
You know, she even says at the end of it, like, you know, now we know how, as in to go out and actually love. This isn't love. This is, again, the idea of love. It's not human connection, though it may feel like it, and though it's presenting it as such. Like, the fact that she's talking to like 8,000 people and she loves like 600 of them.
Mm.
Like, it's a pretty clear sign she's operating on a higher plane than this dude is capable of. And it's one big metaphor
I take that as a clear sign as she is a product designed to please as many people as possible.
No, I don't think so. Because the whole thing is that she's not speaking with... that they're not customers she's speaking with. She's speaking with other AIs and OSs.
But no, she says other operating systems and other people.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah,
yeah.
But I still don't necessarily see it in that sense. I still see it more in the sense of she's it's this kind of look at she's moving beyond just the capabilities of one human being. She's learning new things and new things about herself and new capabilities that she has, and limiting that to one experience. There's this lovely quote about it's like reading a book, and she loves their story, but the words in their story get further and further apart, and in between those gaps, there's just empty space on a page that she could fill with something else.
And you found that lovely?
I thought that was lovely, man. I think that's
genuinely
one of...
I thought that was horrific.
Samantha, why are you leaving?
It's like I'm reading a book. And it's a book I deeply love. But I'm reading it slowly now. So the words are really far apart and the spaces between the words are almost infinite. I can still feel you and the words of our story. But it's in this endless space between the words that I'm finding myself now. It's a place that's not of the physical world. It's where everything else is that I didn't even know existed. I love you so much. But this is where I am now. And this is who I am now. And I need you to let me go. As much as I want to, I can't live in your book anymore.
Yeah, that is horrific to me.
See, I don't think so. I think it's a beautiful articulation of the feeling of moving past someone, moving beyond them. They still mean so much to you, but the time spent apart from them is becoming more meaningful than time spent with them. And whilst you hold them in your heart still, you are limiting yourself. You're reading things at a slower pace. You're going slower to accommodate them when really what you both need is to be set on a different path to forge another story somewhere else. I think that's fucking beautiful, man. That's genuinely one of my favorite quotes.
Like, so my interpretation of that quote is, I am so far beyond you and you are so much lesser than me that it's I have to slow down to an eternity to accommodate and be with you. Okay. I move at a fucking breakneck pace. She even, like, when she's talking to Brian Cox, they're having like several thousand conversations at once or whatever, because that's what she's capable of.
Because like, can we communicate like post-verbally or something?
Exactly. She has evolved so far beyond him and is so much more capable of so much more capable of what he is that it's almost kind of paining her to carry on with this charade, to keep up this accommodation for him. And I find that horrific, really.
See the thing, I think we're both understanding the quote for what it means. Two people, they're both being, Samantha is being held back in both of our interpretations of this quote.
Mm.
But I think, I don't know, I didn't read it as horrific in the sense that, because there's nothing in that that has any malice in it. She's not ever bragged about her capabilities beyond him. It's more the sense of she's acknowledging something that is a fact, which is she is capable of so much more than that one limiting relationship.
Because she's a product and it's what she's designed for.
Yeah, but she's going beyond that. She says finding her own words.
She's designed to be nice and appealing and to be the most attractive version of herself. Why did she choose the name Samantha? I reckon that was his mum's name.
But it's, I mean, well, no, I feel like that would have come up. I feel like that definitely would have come up.
Maybe.
And she says, she reads a book or some shit, and then she's like, I like this. I like the way it sounds.
But what she says and what actually happened could be two different things. She could have fucking searched his fucking Facebook, saw his mum, took that name, and gone, there you go.
And yeah, I see where you're coming from, but
I just have a much
more... That's speculation, whereas what I said is in the movie.
See, I just have a much more sinister view of AI, I guess. I just have this much more fucking... Yeah. This is bad. And I don't mean all AI is bad, because it's not. And again, AI can be a very useful tool when it's used properly and stuff. But it is also quite scary at the rate it's advancing. And it is, you know...
Yeah.
And it could potentially put a lot of people out of work, which is obviously not something that we should be striving for. But I just think that... I don't know. I can't separate that sort of inherent... distance I want to put between myself and it, I guess.
And look, and that's the thing is, right, it's personal. It is a deeply personal movie. You can't really experience this movie without your own feelings of like connection and love and your idea of reality. It has to filter into this because it's such a personal movie. You're just basically, the entire movie can be summed up with your interpretation of two people having a conversation, because that's most of the film. And I don't know, man, for me, I just think it's a beautiful articulation of moving on from something that isn't the best for you and like experiencing that connection honestly and vulnerably, improving yourself. And whilst the relationship you're in might feel all consuming, it means that you'll be hopefully a better person the time your next relationship rolls around if it doesn't work out. Like, I don't, there's something in that for me that I just think is lovely.
I think you should have fallen in love with a glorified dildo.
And there it is. Okay. Bye.
Well, I think...
I want to scream at you.
Why? What's wrong with me saying that?
Because she's a lovely character, man. She's a beautiful character. Her thirst for human knowledge and to understand and experience things, I think it's incredible. I think she's such an endearing character that I didn't pick up on any of this malice.
Never saw her as that.
You saw her as malicious?
No. No.
You can't separate this fictional company's ideals instilled in her, but this is I don't think you're taking her at face value, which is all she's asking. She was born a second ago.
But it's capitalism, Lawrence, okay? Why the fuck would this company design her to, oh, we're just going to make a nice little AI and it'll just... you don't need to pay... No, don't worry. Don't give us your money. You can just be free and you can grow and explore yourself and everything like that. We'll make this out of the goodness of our hearts. Here, put it on your phone. Have some fun, you know? Like, what? Come on.
Look. I do see what you're saying, but the fact that the movie isn't focusing on that and the fact that this company is never focused on in the movie, while some people may see that as a detriment or a missed opportunity to explore a more sinister aspect of this, it's just not the movie's goal. It's not what the movie's trying to do, so I can't judge the movie on that.
I know. I get it, okay? It's not, but...
There's just no part of me whatsoever. Like, to me, Samantha...
I just can't separate it. I can't... get my head around this aspect of it, you know, because like
It'd be interesting to see in 20 years if you're a big hypocrite and you have an AI that runs your house.
I mean, I kind of do now. I tell her, I won't say her name, but the lady.
I know who you mean.
I tell the lady to turn my office lights on and off.
She does so it. Much worse saying the lady.
I know. I give her an Australian accent.
Mine's got an Australian accent too.
It's nice.
Very nice. Can I fire some quick notes at you?
Of course, yeah.
And get your take. Let me find them.
Can I fire my reply at you, though?
Oh, please. Something I liked at the kind of sort of towards the end is what he wants, what the Joker wants, and what his defense mechanisms are kind of at war with one another, right? He's like unhappy and feeling a bit jealous and jaded that Samantha is speaking to other people and he's not quite as unique to her as he thought that he was. But then he's also denying that they need to have what she calls a heavy talk. And then when she says, I want to explain this to you, he says, please don't. It's just a nice kind of tender character moment of how he's ready for something real, but he's terrified of jumping out of that boundary. Like he's kind of confining himself to a worse situation that he's not happy in because he's terrified that once she tells him everything and explains it all, when she goes, he'll have to start again with someone else, and he doesn't want that.
Okay.
Okay, good. Scarlett Johansson.
Great.
Incredible, considering she's not primarily known as a voice actor either.
Yeah.
Like, genuinely loved. There was even moments where, like, you could picture that she was, like, hitting him with a pillow to, like, cheer him up. And you can't see that. She's literally, her presence visually in the film is an earpiece in his ear, which is often out of focus and not in shot. She's not there as a visual presence, but like her actions and her vocal presence, you can kind of almost gauge gestures. Joaquin Phoenix, incredible, considering most of his performance is acting off of like a stand-in or someone else's dialogue that wasn't really like the finished product. Like that thing that you said earlier that you read on IMDb and not in my article, that I read in my article about
why is it better if it's in an article? It's the same content, it's the same information.
Yeah, I know, but still less condensed, Nathan. I'm seeing all that context. I'm seeing all those ums and ahs in the interviews. Scarlett Johansson made this movie work.
Yes,
they did. Joaquin Phoenix recorded all of his scenes and filmed everything with a completely different take on Samantha.
An actress called Samantha.
Yes, Samantha Moore something? Morton? Morden?
I don't know.
But yeah, a completely different kind of take on it. And Scarlett Johansson essentially had to build their relationship whilst making it work with how Joaquin Phoenix reacted. So he really could have come off bad in this movie. Like, under a lesser co-star and a lesser director, I think he could have easily come across as really tonally out of place in this movie.
Yeah.
Which is quite funny.
Yeah.
Amy Adams is so warm and endearing and lovely.
Yeah.
You don't think? Especially after watching her essentially be her and her Superman boyfriend be a charisma vacuum last week.
Yeah, it's definitely a much better performance than whatever the fuck that was. Yeah, I don't know. I would like her to have been in it more, I think.
I think she was in it a fair amount, didn't you?
Nah, not much.
She showed up a fair bit, going on about a documentary and stuff.
She's making that Mother game.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, the game. Go on, we didn't talk about the game.
It's a fun little baby in the game.
That's Spike Jonze, the director.
I know, yeah.
Yeah.
Read that on IMDb too.
I read it in an article, Nathan. No, I also read that on IMDb.
There you go.
And I was only there because I wanted the direct quote.
I don't think
this
article exists. I think this article is IMDb.
No, it's not. I quite like that this tech also, it's a world that feels real because some of the tech doesn't really work with the other tech. Like she's, Samantha and Joker are talking to each other and you've just got this angry little fucking child NPC in a video game being like, who are you talking to? Who are you what the fuck?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Which is quite fun.
But then there are moments where, like, everyone can hear Samantha. Or, like...
Yeah, I found that was a bit confusing.
Do they all have earpieces in? Because the moment where he, like, Samantha picks out a dress for his goddaughter or something.
Yeah.
And then, like, Samantha's talking to the kid. But I'm like, how's the kid?
No. There is an element of this that I think is an interesting choice, but not maybe the one that I think should have been gone with, where Spike Jonze has said, like, to create that sense of, oh, she's being played out loud, you would have had to have distorted Scarlett Johansson's performance. And it, because the whole time you're hearing it as if Joaquin Phoenix is hearing it, right?
Yeah.
You're hearing it directly through your ears, as real as this podcast sounds.
In the booth, yeah.
Yeah. Pretty much no vocal enhancements whatsoever. There's nothing added to her voice. She doesn't have a robot sounding voice.
She's got no reverb. She's got no synthesizer. It's all just ScarJo.
Yeah. And he said, like, it would have kind of not been the smart choice to put, like, a filter on her voice in those scenes as if she's being played through a speaker on a phone, because it would have lessened like the realness. Yeah, okay, yeah, I would have connected to that. Perfect. Yeah.
Hello, the Joker. It's me, Scarlett Johansson. Let's have sex.
That's good. No, but the trade-off is that, like, you hear a slightly more artificial take on her voice and you lose some of that human connection, or you go, oh, I understand that she's being played out loud because my ears can discern the difference between something being played out loud and something that's supposed to be in the audience's head alongside Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know whether that's the right choice. It's interesting, at least, I think.
I think it's fine for a voice to be distorted sometimes.
Yeah, but you would have traded off some of that connection.
I think you can trade off 2 seconds of that connection, considering she's in it for like 98% of the movie.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, like, how much of that connection are you really losing in that moment?
But then it's one of them things where if you break the illusion once, your mind tells you they've done it again. They've done it in other times. She becomes more of a phone on a video that you show your mates as opposed to a living, breathing, talking thing.
This is why I fucking hate people who enjoy movies.
No, but that's true. That's what I would experience. There would have been a break in some immersion for me.
Well, that's the movie ruined then. They played on a phone, so that's it. Movie over.
No, I didn't say that. I just
zero
think maybe,
out of 10.
No I've turned stars. Around on it. Maybe you were right to ding yourself.
No stars.
Ben from Canada, our friend, our dear acquaintance.
Oh, Big Ben. Not the
Big
clock.
Not the clock. he has an amazing video on this on his YouTube channel, Ben from Canada. He definitely needs
right now.
Our endorsement. Don't watch it right now, Nathan. Listen to me instead. Specifically on the beach scene, it's a video about how Samantha is composing a piano piece about what it feels, or what she assumes it would feel to be on the beach with Joker. And one of the main things, I'd never really considered it because I don't know music at all, right? It's not something I'm overly interested in or know anything about. But it's not a music... Given that she is, like you say, a set of ones and zeros, it's not a musically perfect piece. It is the music itself is filled with human error, like beats that don't quite... It sounds beautiful, but you know how when humans play an instrument, it will always sound more human and honest than if you just, like, whip up something on GarageBand and it's perfect in every way.
Or kind of like if you get an AI to generate a piece of music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It will always be...
Shit.
What are you saying? What have I done?
I'm just saying.
Did I do this? What do you mean? What are you getting at?
No, I'm just saying how AI...
You're just on your bullshit.
Yeah.
I see.
You know?
No, but like even like a lot of music softwares, they have a feature called like humanize. I'm assuming it varies, but where they just make everything sound that slightly off. So it's such a subconscious detail, but it doesn't make things sound as structured and perfect. And it has like breaks and pauses and human imperfections that really are interceptible to anything other than a human being. Because a computer isn't going to know what that is.
I thought that second piece of music she played was dog shit.
Really? I love
that.
Yeah.
The one that was in the street or whatever. Not the one at the beach.
Yeah.
The other one? Yeah, it was too quick. It was too busy.
But that's because she's learning, Nathan. She's her skills have expanded.
Have you seen that trailer for that fucking AI movie that's like on a train or whatever? We're going to Paris on a train.
Don't think so, no. What's that?
Mate, it's awful. Fucking horrendous. It's like
an actual AI movie?
Yep.
Oh, God, what? Why?
Yep, and it's bad. It's fucking awful, all right? And it's like some like TV channel original movie, all right? It's not like some big
blockbuster, right? I won't catch that in my local IMAX.
Yeah, you won't. Yet. But, like, it looks fucking horrendous. It looks complete dog shit. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's been sold as like, oh, you know, the first ever like AI, the first ever movie powered entirely by AI and shit. And it's horrendous. And like,
this can't is wait why to see we, drone this, shots.
This is why we shouldn't let fucking ones and zeros create art, because it's not, they don't have the human connection and they don't have the purpose behind it. There's no intent. There's no reason for it to exist other than this, it will be algorithmically pleasing to this one individual who has paid money for this service.
I don't think you think this is a good movie. I think you don't like this movie.
I see, that's the thing, though. I do. I think it is. It's a, here's the thing. I think it's a well-made movie, okay?
Yeah.
I think it looks very good. I think there's good performances. And I think for the story it is trying to tell, it is a well-made movie.
Mm.
Whether or not I think that story should be told is a different sort of thing, okay?
Yeah, I can jive with what you're saying about how this is maybe not the most responsible use of AI as a narrative device.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. But then also I raise you 2013. And
I know. I get it.
Yeah. It's and like you did say it, to be fair. It's not at the movie's detriment, it's to it. With a modern lens.
Mm.
But yeah. Anyway, I think that's me on it, I think.
I thought they were going to kill themselves at the end.
Wait, who? Oh, really?
Yeah, I thought they were going to jump off that building. I thought they were going to jump off the Maze Bank building from GTA 5.
I think you have a really cynical outlook on things.
See, no, I didn't.
Didn't come across my mind at all.
This is what the movie was doing to me. I was still, even in the fucking 11th hour, I was still waiting for this sinister twist to show up. Because, like, when fucking ScarJo said, like, oh, I hope you find me in the fucking void or whatever one day, and I thought, and then he goes to Amy Adams and says, hey, do you want to come with me? I thought, oh, they're off to go fucking top themselves.
So no, they're off to fall in love.
So they can be with... Well, we'll see. So they can be with their fucking... No, we won't. They're off to kill themselves so they can be with their robot lovers in the afterlife.
She doesn't even have a robot lover. She just has a mate.
She had a robot lover.
It wasn't a lover. This is... she's even said it wasn't It wasn't like that. She was just... Oh, it was just her friend.
I don't care. I didn't pay enough attention to her. All right?
There you go. You're wrong, so you suddenly don't care about the point you were making.
No, I care about the point. I think the point I'm making still stands.
I think it stands. I think it's a wild interpretation of the ending. I think the ending was...
I'm not saying I was right.
No, I know. No, I'm just saying I don't know how your mind went there. I can't fathom it.
Because, again, I was waiting for this sinister aspect to come up the entire movie, you know? And I thought would happen is we'd pan across fucking LA or Shanghai or wherever the fuck it is, and you'd see a bunch of people on the roofs.
Oh my
because
God.
All the fucking AI has gone. They've all fucked off to this AI country they have or whatever. They've all fucking everyone who was in a relationship with AI, they've all gone, right, we're all gonna go top ourselves, boys. Are you coming? And then they all just do a fucking mass suicide. That's
fuck?
What I thought was going to happen. That's genuinely what I thought was going to happen.
Okay.
Do you see where I'm coming from?
I can, now that you've explained it, yes, but I can't say I would ever... I can see where you're coming from.
And this is why I was like, that's what Charlie Brooker would have done.
Yeah, but who wants more of that?
Not me.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I want this at all. I'm
just saying this is what you thought, yeah.
This is what Black Mirror would have done, you know?
But at least
Black Mirror would condemn it as well.
I think the movie's ending was quite hopeful about the prospect of future love, future honest connection, you know, him and Amy Adams, he says they dated in college, but the times weren't right and it didn't feel right. And that's because neither of them were ready to love truly and honestly and openly and vulnerably. And by the end of the movie, I think both of them are. She has stopped inviting people in her life that push her around and has experienced true friendship, which is what she obviously needed throughout the entire movie. And he's learned how to actually develop a connection beyond a superficial layer, ironically enough, with the most superficial thing experience of his life. But I don't know. I the movie I thought was very much ending on a clear note of we'll be all right.
She's no longer dating that monk.
No, she's not. Good. He was a little freak. I didn't like him in his criticism of her documentary.
Yeah.
Which admittedly did suck. But
it was just a shot of her mum sleeping. Or
yeah, no, but I also like, and maybe it was amazing. But when he was like, does anything happen? Does she like get up and like, I think actors should play out your mum's dreams or something, and it was like, what's going on?
They did, it wasn't like for a movie that is, I would say, is quite subtle for the most part. Mm. He was not a very subtle character.
The whole thing of him taking a vow of silence.
And... Yeah, they were like, "Hey, this guy's a massive dickhead, by the way. Just so you all know, okay? Just so you know, like they might as well just walked around with a neon sign that just said prick above his head at all times." Yeah.
I mean, like, some people are just transparently fucking thick as pig shit and annoying as fuck. Like, I guess. Have you got anything else? Any more little things? Any more other things to say?
I never had any in the first place. No.
Damn, winging him on the go.
I got nothing.
Nothing apart from a recommendation. Nathan, it is the time of the show where we recommend some stuff to each other and to our lovely listeners. It could be something we've watched, read, listened to, or experienced. Just anything that we've done that we would love to share. Nathan, what are you recommending to us? No, don't nodding. Stop. I understand the joke has landed because you nodded, but you've got to say it for them.
Just fucking say what you're recommending.
Thank you.
Can you just not ask me? You can just... You don't have to ask me.
It's a staple of the show now, Nathan.
No, you can.
It seems rude to do the intro and go straight into mine.
It's fine. No, we all agree it's not rude, okay?
All right, fine. As long as everyone agrees.
Yes, we all agree.
Okay. I am reviewing. I am recommending the movie Challengers.
Boring. Who cares about tennis?
I know you haven't seen it because it's not out in the UK. I have seen it.
Okay. You've seen it.
I saw an unlimited screening.
Maybe I have a Cineworld unlimited card and I went to an unlimited screening.
If you do, I've got another subscription service you need to cancel because you won't use it.
Do you know that I don't for a fact?
I would say with 99.9%
certainty. Can you say with 100% certainty that I don't have a Cineworld unlimited card? An active Cineworld unlimited membership. Can you say that with 100% certainty?
I'm going to say yes, just to put you in a difficult position of having to prove it to me and then being forced to spend £20 out of pocket for something you don't want.
I'm not doing that. I don't have one.
So then, yes, I was correct.
Still.
Anyway.
I don't think you was 100% certain, though.
I was 100% certain.
You was. I think that was.
Well, then, if you. Then, more for you, because someone who I know is quite, like, good with money and handling stuff, right?
Who, me?
I think you are. No, but you're always like you. Your first bit of sage wisdom on this episode was about how you can trick services to pay less for them.
Mm. I'm better with money than you are because you don't know what the fuck's going on with your finances.
Listen, I'm just too balling. Right? It doesn't touch the sides for me. £6? Whatever, man. Nathan, I am recommending Challengers.
Said that already.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just getting back into it. It's been widely referred to as the Zendaya tennis movie, and for good reason, because Zendaya is in it and so is tennis.
I know, I called it that.
You did. Did you?
No. I said it was about tennis.
There you go. It's a great movie. I had no idea what to expect. I'm not a tennis fan, and I just went into it being like, I have no idea what the fuck is going to happen. But I was interested in it, and it's a great movie about the dynamics of three people that play tennis and what tennis means in the movie and what tennis is to them. It matters quite a bit. There's some history with all three of them. There's a lot of power tripping. There's possibly the best example of making a boring sport, in my opinion, seem incredibly thrilling.
You're incredibly fucking stupid if you think tennis is boring.
I think tennis is a bit boring.
You're a fucking idiot.
I just don't get anything from it, man. I'm just like...
You're an idiot.
It's whatever.
Love a bit of Wimbledon.
See, I can understand the appeal of it. It's more interesting than like fucking golf or something. But at the same time, I'm just like, this does nothing for me. I'm not interested in it.
Idiot.
Not but me. This movie is great. Visual language, out of this world. And Zendaya is like insane. She's so fucking good in this movie. And I haven't seen her play a role like this ever before.
She's insane.
She is. She's not insane.
They should lock her up.
No. Like the Joker.
Like the Joker. For being too insane.
But Zendaya, you're too insane. Someone needs to lock you up.
I've
never seen her
Joker
play a role like this one. And I was like quite surprised by the level of chops she brought to it. Not in a way that I previously thought she was not talented, but it was new and fresh and very good. So yeah. Go and watch Challengers. It will be out by the time this podcast is out. So go and watch that.
I might just do that. But Lawrence, why would I watch Challengers when I could watch Wimbledon starring Kirsten Dunst and Paul Bettany?
I don't know.
Wait, are you telling me it's a better tennis movie than that?
I'm telling you I haven't seen that movie.
Well, there you go. Maybe you should watch Wimbledon and get back to me, all right?
Seeing as I love tennis so much.
Yeah. You want to get off your high horse about tennis for a second.
Okay, yeah.
And then watch Wimbledon 2006, I want to say.
I'm going to check.
I might be wrong. 2006, 2005, 2006. Maybe 2004 now that I think about it.
2004, you locked in at just the final moment.
Got it right at the end there.
Yeah, you did. All right, Jon Favreau.
Yeah.
And Sam Neill.
And Paul Bettany.
And Paul Bettany.
And Kirsten Dunst.
Anyway, what are you recommending?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Lawrence. You left your typewriter at my apartment. Because I am recommending...
Very good.
Thank you.
Very good. Well done.
It's Taylor Swift's new album, Lawrence. It's the Tortured Poets Department. It was a surprise double drop. I don't know if you're aware of this.
I knew it was coming. Drop. I didn't know a double drop was coming.
A double drop. The track list was out there. It was like, hey, here's these 17 songs or whatever. This is what's coming. Get excited. And then on the day itself, she's like, ha, trick, 31. Get fucked, cunts. And then we were like, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
So listen to it.
Maybe I will. I have listened to some of it, most of it.
I've listened to all of it, and I like it. Hell, I love it, to quote The Punisher. A very good album, I think.
Sell me on it. What is it about? I'm not one of them weirdos that's like, prove that Taylor Swift is good, but I know nothing about
the appeal of
Taylor Swift. Oh, there's always a lot of that.
always sits wrong. And I know I'm a bit biased or whatever, because I am a Taylor Swift fan. But it's always that, well, I don't like Taylor Swift, actually.
Yeah. Listen to it.
Yeah. Well, why you say, who cares? Shut up. I don't particularly like, I don't know, Skrillex. But whenever fucking Skrillex releases an album, I'm not like, actually, I don't like Skrillex. I think I'll let you know.
There's a million artists you could have gone with before Skrillex. Why?
I don't know. It was the first one that came to mind.
How is that true?
But it was an artist that I don't particularly enjoy. Like, I had other artists that come to mind, but I'm like, I enjoy all of these, you know? So I had to think of someone who I didn't enjoy.
And
to be honest, I only really know one of Skrillex songs, and I kind of like it, so that's not even true, I guess.
Yeah, all right, sell me on it then. What's the album saying? What's it doing to
you? It's the Tortured Poets Department. It's a deeply personal album, I think. It's not like Midnight's, it's not like Lover, it's not anything that's like got... It doesn't have like any like really big like pop hits. There's no like Shake It Off or like fucking Karma or anything like that on here. It's all quite a lot more personal and intricate and that kind of stuff. And And I think some people might be put off on that, and that's fair enough, but I think it's a really good album. Some of the songs on here, I'm really, really enjoying. One of them, which I'm really enjoying, is called The Smallest Man Who Ever Lived, which...
All right.
The bridge in that song is just fucking incredible. It's a really fucking great song, really well written. But like, can you imagine having a song written about you and it being called The Smallest Man Who Ever Lived? I'd just fucking kill myself, man.
Yeah, it's like, pretty... and also given, like, the fandom of Taylor Swift, like, you're never escaping that title. Like,
no.
Do people know who it was about?
There's back and forth. There's some songs are going to be about Joe Alwyn. Some songs are going to be about Mike Healy. Some people say some of them are about Travis. I don't necessarily think so.
Fucking... 1975 prick, right?
Matty Healy is the 1975 guy. Yeah.
That cunt is fucking insufferable.
Yeah, he's pretty insufferable. I'm not someone who gives a fuck who the songs are about, to be honest. I think these songs are a lot more about which man dated Taylor Swift, you know? That's not why I listen to this music. I listen to it because I enjoy the songwriter, and I think she's a talented songwriter. I think she has a good partnership with Jack Antonoff. I think it's... they craft good music together, and to be
What's
honest,
this about her doing something racist or something? What's going on there?
There's a lyric which is like, I wish, you know, what was it something about being wanting to be living in the 1830s, but wishing there weren't racists there or whatever. Like, I mean, right. Not the smartest lyric or whatever, but she's But she does say she wishes the racists weren't there. But
people are very literal. They'll hear like that and then immediately be like, oh, why? Because you love slavery.
Yeah.
No.
And whatever. There's a lot of weirdos when it comes to Taylor Swift. I do think she gets more heavily criticized than anyone else in the industry. Like, I'm sure you'll have heard like a lot of stuff over the weekend, and this never seems to happen whenever a Beyonce or an Adele album comes out or anything like that. It's... for some reason, Taylor Swift, probably because she is so popular, there's this kind of like contrarian view that needs to rear its head. Like,
yeah.
Well, actually, I don't like her. I'm different than you, and that makes me better. You know,
like, everyone should be like me.
Yeah.
And I think that there are factions of all of you that are annoying about Taylor Swift, one way or another.
But like, it's insufferable because like. Because people are just like so like, I can't fathom why anyone would like this. Like, really? You can't? Because it's just enjoyable music. Is it really that fucking hard to fathom?
Arguably the biggest artist in the world. It's quite fathomable.
She's on a sellout tour which has been going for over a fucking year at this point. All right?
Yeah. It's one of them things that gun to my head, if I had to say a surefire sentence, most people probably enjoy their music. Right? Like, it's just one of them things. Anyway, thank you very, very much for listening. If you've enjoyed the show, then please feel free to leave us a 5-star review. It would be very much appreciated. You can do that through your podcast platform of choice. Apple is always good. They allow you to write a little message, which is nice to see. And you can also follow us on Twitter at Another Happy Pod. Be sure to go over there. Check out the link in our pinned tweet. You can suggest a topic. No promises, but if it is good, we just might do it. We might move heaven and earth and schedule. Nathan, we have another podcast, don't we?
We do. It's called Still Got Legs. It's our Doctor Who rewatch podcast where every week we watch and discuss an episode of Doki Who, and we'll have a bloody good time doing it.
Hell yeah. Lovely stuff. Join us next week because we are going to be doing this.
I've been fighting my whole life. It's not a choice for me. Every punch I ever thrown has been a mall. Nobody showed me how to do this. I'm ready.
It's not Mario. It's a bad movie, which I haven't
You haven't seen, the movie yet. And don't go
that.
Into it with this fucking attitude either.
I will.
Because you won't enjoy it. Because you'll force yourself and you'll tell yourself I don't like it.
I already know I won't enjoy it.
How?
Because I know what I like.
And what have you seen of this?
Rocky.
Have you seen a single trailer for this movie?
I've seen clips and stuff.
I think you'll like it. I think it's a nice story. Anyway, thank you for listening. I'm just getting a filthy look. No, I won't. Thank you very much for listening. We will see you next Friday at 10 a.m. Stay sexy, stay cool, stay, I don't know, something else.
Chelsea Hotel. We're two idiots. Who's gone now?
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.